family meeting that my dad sat in, and he said, would you rather have friends or a brand new Ferrari? I'd rather have the Ferrari. Because they say you may lose friends over Amway. And by the way, you will probably lose friends over Amway. I know a guy who was at a very successful position at a grocery store. He was demoted to being the clerk. He was the assistant manager, went down to being the cashier because he got busted for selling Amway on the job. Messed up his life. You know, Amway is like a church. It's like a cult. And did you know that people who sell Amway, none of them have facial hair? And they park backwards. No joke. You see, whenever I see people park backwards, to this day I say, are they selling Amway? Okay. I mean, I just because I remember there were about three people in the church that we went to, and they were the only three people in the church who pulled their car in backwards. Now, not everybody who parks backwards is Amway, but that's an Amway thing. They teach them to park backwards. And they teach them not to have any facial hair. Because the people that I knew in church, and I know it's the truth, they used to have facial hair, they had a mustache, they had a beard. As soon as they got into Amway, boom, lost the facial hair, because that's what they tell them. So they're telling you how to shave your face. They're telling you which way to park your car. And they're singing songs about money. I want to sing about Jesus. I don't want to sing about money. I want to sing to God be the glory. I don't want to sing to Amway dollar money be the glory. Good night. Amway's bad. But it's really bad when you start selling Amway at church. What else? What else salespeople use in church for their sales leads? You know, this could go for the herbal life, the vitamins, I'm talking about all the pyramid sales marketing schemes. People use church. Hey, I'm about to push the button, Tupperware. Okay? Now, I don't think it's wrong to sell Tupperware. But I do think it's wrong to sell Tupperware at church. I've known people, okay, here's another one. That didn't get you? The Pampered Chef. Okay? Because listen, I knew a lady in a church that she never came to church except once every like month or two. And when she would come to church every 2 months, she'd hand out invitations with everybody's name on them to her Pampered Chef party. And you know how it is, you go to the Pampered Chef party, and if you don't buy something, you're the big heel. You know, you got to buy something if you come to the Tupperware party. It's etiquette, you got to buy something Pampered Chef. Church is not the place to sell Tupperware. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to sell Tupperware. You know, I like some Tupperware stuff. I mean, you know, Tupperware actually has some decent products. But selling it at church? Wrong. I'm just trying to bring it down a little here. Mary Kay. Ouch. Now, I'm not saying that Mary Kay is wrong, although I do think it's wrong. Okay? Because, number one, you look hideous if you wear Mary Kay makeup. Every woman I've ever seen who puts on Mary Kay... No. First of all, I hate makeup anyway. Have you ever noticed that my wife doesn't wear any makeup? Okay, that's not a coincidence. Now, yes, she does have naturally beautiful skin and complexion. She is naturally beautiful, but you know what? I hate makeup. That's just the way I feel about it, okay? But the point is, though, and Mary Kay's got to be the most garbage makeup on the market. But you know what makes me so sick about Mary Kay? Is to go to church after church after church in my life. Almost every church I've been in, some woman was selling Mary Kay in church, and she's using God's house to make money. And they have a sticker, Mary Kay, enriching women's lives. Mm-hmm. No, it's enriching you. Yeah. It's enriching your pocketbook is what it's doing. Mm-hmm. They've tried so many times to give my wife a Mary Kay makeover. She said, you don't understand, my husband will flip out. If I come home with makeup on, he'll scream and yell and throw tables and chairs. He'll be like Jesus in the temple. He'll start picking up seats and throwing them. She was right, too, because I would. But any other business, I mean, that's just to name a few, okay? But any other business. I mean, I have a fire alarm business. You think I'm going to solicit people in this church or any church to try to sell fire alarm systems? Never. Never. That's crossing a moral line, a boundary that God has set not to sell in church. Now, if you didn't like that first point, you better buckle your seatbelt, because that was the point I put at the beginning just to kind of test the waters, okay? That was just me putting my toe into the water here and saying, you know, what's it like? What's the temperature here? Because now we're really going to jump into this thing, all right? Now it's time to get on the high dive, okay? How about this? Number two. So number one, salespeople using church for their sales leads. Amway, Tupperware, vitamins, Mary Kay, whatever you want to call it. Number, I don't want people laughing so much, right? This is a serious topic. But anyway, number two, brace yourself, the church bookstore. The church bookstore. Because it is merchandise. It's bought. It's sold. It's merchandise, and it's wrong. You say, what's the big deal? Jesus thought it was a big deal. I think it's a big deal. Selling books, sermon tapes, sermon CDs, t-shirts, hats. I went to a church where they sold the invitations that you hand out on soul winning in bundles for 50 cents for a bundle. To go soul winning. You bought the invitation because, man, live, those things cost money. Yeah, I know, they're merchandise. You're a Jehovah's Witness. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses do. They sell their merchandise. You know that, right? They sell their literature. They give you the first one free on your door, but Jehovah's Witnesses pay for their literature. They pay for the Watchtower magazine they give out. Yeah, Jehovah's Witness Baptists selling the invitation that they hand out. Selling books. Oh, but they're spiritual books. They're merchandise. Now, is there anything wrong with selling a book? Absolutely not. As long as you don't sell it at church. And as long as it's not marketed at church. As long as it's not carried through the house of God in a vessel. As long as nobody gets up and reads a bulletin and says, oh, this is for sale in the back tonight after I preach to you. You can go in the back and buy all my sermon CDs. You can buy my books and tapes. That's why until hell freezes over, those sermon CDs of Faithful Word Baptist Church are going to be free until hell freezes over. And you can take this sermon CD as a reminder of how they're always going to be free. And if I ever sell them, you can take it to me and you can stick it down my throat and say, you said that they would always be free. Because they will always be free. You say, oh, when the church gets bigger, you're not going to be able to afford that. What sense does that make? If anything, it would be harder for a small church of our size to afford buying all those CDs and buying the cases and the CDs and the printer and the labels and the duplicator. That stuff costs money. If we can do it as a small, tiny, fledgling, brand new church, you expect me to believe that a much bigger church cannot afford to do it? Wrong. The bigger our church gets, the easier it's going to get to be able to afford make, because we can mass produce things. And it's going to get even cheaper to make them. And so those will always be free. The sermon CDs will always be free. The Bibles. Do you see that big row of Bibles out on the bookshelf? It's free. You see, when we win somebody to Christ, we try to give them a Bible. Oh, man, that's expensive. $3.95 is how much we pay for those gift awards. And they're nice Bibles. I like them. I've used those for my personal Bible for months on end before when I was younger. I love those gift award Bibles. $3.95. To me, it's worth it. If I win somebody to Christ who was going to hell, now they're going to heaven, that seems like a big event to me. It seems like we can celebrate with $3.95 and hand them a Bible so that they can grow in the Lord. That seems like a small price to pay to me. I remember my brother one time, he heard me preach on this subject. And he went to his church and there was a brand newly saved person that had just gotten saved in his church, okay? And so my brother, he'd heard me preach this before, okay? So my brother, he walked up right in front of the pastor was standing right there in his church. He walked over to the church bookstore and he took a Bible off the shelf, unpackaged it, and handed it to the new convert and said, here's a Bible. And you know, they're looking at him like, what have you done? You know, you didn't pay for that. And he said to me this, he said, I just felt like that was God's Bible. And I felt like if it was in the house of God, it was bought with church's money, I mean, the tithes and all. I felt like that was God's Bible, he said. He said, I think that Bible belonged to God. And he said, I just felt like God would want somebody who just got saved to have a Bible. So I picked it up and handed him God's Bible. It makes sense to me. Amen. You know, they didn't say anything to him. They just looked at him like, okay, what are you doing? Makes sense to me. I understand perfectly. But not only the church bookstore, how about the church coffee shop? You say, what? The church coffee shop? Okay. The gentleman that was here visiting with us on Wednesday night, he drove here all the way from Mississippi. And we went out soul winning the last couple nights. And man, we have a great time on Thursday, Friday. A bunch of people saved and spent spent a long time on soul winning, and he's a great man, and he's a great soul winner.